How are you today on this first full day of fall 2019? Huh? All right, great. Good to hear it. Yes. How many of you like fall? Well, you want to get your outline out. One of the many challenges that we as pastors face is coming up with something fresh to say each Sunday, especially for the holidays like Christmas and Easter. Even people who don't regularly attend church often show up on those holidays or around those holidays. Sometimes we call them Creasters, Christmas and Easter, Creaster, people that just show up on those days, and yet, of course, we love to see them. And yet, there are only so many Bible passages on the topic of Christmas and Easter. And so many folks feel like they've heard it all, maybe dozens of times. And they give you that look. And we as pastors, we know that look. Okay, I dare you. You know, teach me something new. Tell me something I haven't heard before. Actually, I like that challenge because I like trying to find fresh angles on the greatest story ever told from the greatest book ever written. I like that challenge. But it's not just at Christmas and Easter. It's also things like Mother's Day and Father's Day. Today, of course, is neither. It's not a holiday. But I sort of feel like it's Mother's Day and Father's Day mixed together, because today I'm slated to speak in our series on the Ten Commandments on the fifth commandment. And the fifth commandment says, honor your father and your mother so that you may live a long life in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Now you might be thinking, we hear about this sort of thing at least twice a year, and now we have to hear it again today when it's not the holiday? Yeah, I get that. But on the other hand, think about it this way. If God put this in the Ten Commandments, it must be pretty important. And so we need to ask, what fresh insight can we explore? And what do we just need to hear again, you know? We need to hear some things over and over again because they're important. Well, today is part 6 in our series, The Perfect 10. This morning, we're talking about how to raise your parents. All right? So kids, you want to know how to raise your parents. God originally spoke the Ten Commandments to the nation of Israel at Mount Sinai some 3,500 years ago as the basis of his law for his people. And centuries later, about 1,500 years or so, Jesus' life and teachings, his death, his resurrection, show Christ's followers how God's law is to be obeyed, how it's to be lived out by us. We've learned so far in this series that the Ten Commandments are not simply about rules to be mindlessly obeyed. They're about a relationship, a dynamic, personal relationship with the one true God. Last Sunday, we learned about entering into God's Sabbath rest. Today, we look at what it means to honor our fathers and mothers. And then we're going to explore, why is it that God singles out mom and dad for being honored in the Ten Commandments? Are we supposed to honor everybody? Why just them? Why special honor? We're going to actually begin with that slippery word, honor. What does it actually mean? You might want to take some notes there in your outline. You may have noticed that we've kind of beefed up the outline a little bit because the YouVersion is kind of hard to access here in this facility. And so we put a lot of that content that we would otherwise put on the YouVersion app. Well, it's still there, but we're putting it on your outline here as well. So what does this word mean, to honor? Actually, it's the translation of a Hebrew word, the Old Testament originally written in Hebrew, and that's kaved. And when it's used in this PL verb stem in Hebrew, it means to regard as heavy, as important. In other words, to highly esteem. You regard your parents as heavy, not heavy as in overweight, not physical heaviness. We're talking figurative here in this kind of usage, similar to when we say, that's heavy news. Now, of course, in English, when we use the word heavy that way, it's usually not something good. It's not positive. It's usually negative, like getting a bad MRI report or hearing the news that a loved one has passed away. Heavy sorrow, heavy consequences. But in Hebrew, this expression can have a very positive nuance. It means you regard someone as important. You give him or her and that person's perspective a lot of weight because he or she is to be honored. All right? The fifth commandment tells us to give our parents a lot of weight in our lives. Now, how do we do that? How do I honor my father and mother? Well, let's break this down a little bit. You'll notice there we have some points under here of what honor means, more specifically. First of all, it means respect. Respect. Aretha Franklin just passed away. She'd spell it out for us. Respect. Esteem. To treat them with courtesy and reverence. Not until just until you're 18 or 21 or out of the house, but life. For life. This is a life sentence here. All right? Look at Leviticus chapter 19, verse 32. It says, stand up in the presence of the aged. That's a sign of respect. You stand up in their presence. Show respect for the elderly and revere your God. I am the Lord. So honor means respect. Secondly, honor means obedience. It says in Ephesians 6, verse 1, children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord, for this is the right thing to do. This is actually while the Apostle Paul is explaining what it means to honor your father and mother. Now, of course, this directive here about obeying is aimed at underaged kids still living at home with their parents. And notice Paul says, because you belong to the Lord. In that verse, he says that. In other words, because you're a Christ follower. This is why you should obey your parents, because you're a Christ follower. To obey your parents is to obey God. To diss your parents is to diss him. Thirdly, honor means priority. This is important. A very high level of importance you attribute to them. Let's say you're invited to your best friend's wedding. And at the same time, for the same day, you're invited to someone else's wedding. Maybe somebody you barely know. To which invitation do you give more weight? Well, obviously, you give it to your best friend. So, priority is honoring. Now, parents are to be given a very high priority in our lives. You might say, well, how high of a priority do I give to my parents? Let's say when they need help on moving day, and for the same time period, your friends are saying, let's go to the beach. Who do you give a higher priority to? Well, there are only two higher priorities over parents, according to Scripture. Only two. The first, A, on your outline, is your marriage partner, and by extension, your kids. All right? The Bible says a man is to leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two become one flesh. And so your spouse, and by extension, your kids. That's A. And then B, the Lord himself gets a higher priority. Jesus says, he who loves father or mother or spouse or child or even his own life more than me is not worthy of me. In other words, we need to give our parents tons of weight. We attribute high priority to them. And then fourthly and finally, under what it means to honor, honor means duty. You have a duty to your parents to see to their care when they're not able to care for themselves. Our parents cared for us when we couldn't care for ourselves. When they get older, we need to return the favor if that is in any way necessary. Jesus came down very hard on people who tried to wiggle out of this responsibility. I'd like to look at a passage in Matthew chapter 15. It picks up in verse 3. And please help me out when we come to the yellow print. Jesus is speaking to the religious leaders, and he said, "Why do you, by your traditions, violate the direct commandments of God? For instance, God says, honor your father and mother." Where have you heard that before? Jesus is quoting the fifth commandment. And, this is a scary one, "Anyone who speaks disrespectfully of father and mother must be put to death." Woo! How many of us would be dead meat, huh? Oh, better be glad we're no longer under the law, huh? Whoa, Jesus quotes those. And then he goes on, "But you say," Jesus is speaking to the religious leaders, "it's all right for people to say to their parents, sorry, I can't help you, for I have vowed to give what God to give to God what I would have given to you." Help me out on the sixth verse. "In this way, you say they don't need to honor their parents, and so you cancel the word of God for the sake of your own tradition. You hypocrites." Woo! Jesus is smoking there. Can you believe it? Some people were shirking their duty to their aging parents by giving to the temple, or we would say today, giving to the church or religious cause or giving to charity, instead of helping their parents. You see, back then, when you dedicated money or land, you kind of willed it to the temple. By law, it could not be taken by anybody else. Only you could use it. You could still use it, but nobody else could lay their hands on it. It was said to be protected. And so an unscrupulous person could abuse that law and say, "Hey, sorry, Mom, sorry, Dad, I would love to help you get into a nice care facility or get some home care, but oh my goodness, I dedicated my money to the Lord and I can't help you." And so Jesus calls these people hypocrites. But notice the larger point that Jesus is making here. According to him, caring for your parents fits under the heading of the commandment to honor your father and mother. Here at Stony Creek Church, we have some outstanding examples of people who have showed care for their parents, cared for them in just wonderful ways. Their aging parents, I think of Tom and Janet Phipps, caring for Tom's mom as she had health problems and struggles, and Joanne Bosek, whose mom just died last year, and Dale and Kristen Russell, still struggling with some challenges there with her mom and his mom. And Nick and Mary Morang, caring for her folks. And Scott, what a great job this young man did with my mom and my wife and Mary, my sister-in-law, really showing that second-mile effort to care for them, care for my mom when she really needed it. That was heroic, and we can look up to them as great examples of that. This is what honoring your father and mother looks like: respect, obedience, priority, and duty. And of course, it's a tall order. But the Lord considers it extremely important. It's one of God's top 10 commandments in the Old Testament. And Jesus doubles down on it in the New Testament. Now, if you're like me, always questioning things, you may wonder why this is. I mean, think about it. Before God creates everything, he knows what he's going to do. Why does God, in his infinite wisdom, decide for all time and every culture that parents must hold a place of extreme honor in our lives? Why these two individuals? Who could be very good or not so good? The commandment doesn't come with any footnotes or caveats or qualifiers restricting this to good parents only. Honor your parents if they're good, right? No, it doesn't say that. Why this blanket commandment that seems to ignore special circumstances? Well, I want to look now quickly at three reasons why dad and mom are singled out for special honor. This is on your outline. The first reason why mom and dad, or dad and mom if you prefer, are singled out for special honor. Number one, they imparted God's image to us. Think of all the things that you get from your parents. Just on the biological level, all right? I'm not talking about the flack you might be get from your parents. But you get your DNA from your parents, your chromosomes, your gender, your blood type, your hair, your type, and many, many other things, including whether or not your earlobes are attached, curly hair or straight, colorblind or not, left-handed or right-handed, many, many other things. We could go on and on. But there's something far more basic than any of this stuff, the foundation of it all, and that is that mom and dad imparted to us the image of God, whether they knew about it or not. They did. Look at Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." Help me. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Being in the image of God is not a physical thing. It doesn't mean we look like God any more than we look like the American flag, the citizens of the United States. We don't look like the flag, but the flag represents us. That's what the image of God is. To be in the image of God means we represent God. God is spirit, but we are his physical representatives here on earth. We're his deputies. We take care of things, or at least we're supposed to, in place of him. This is what sets humans apart from all other creatures on the planet. It's what makes a human more valuable than a dog or a cat or a horse or an ape. You say, but wait a minute, humans and apes are 96% genetically the same, or so they tell us. Well, maybe so, but only humans are created in the image of God. That's what sets us worlds apart from apes and all the other creatures. We're not animals. We're humans. The secular world doesn't get this. They don't have a clue on this. To them, we're just another animal. One with a more highly developed brain, right? More highly evolved. And that's it. But to a Bible believer, human life is more precious than anything on earth. And that's why it's so terrible to murder a human being, no matter how old it is, how frail or strong, or if it's inside or outside of the womb. It's precious, and it must be protected. You say, but if the first humans, Adam and Eve, were made in God's image, what about the rest of us? It says they were made in God's image, but how is his image imparted to us? Answer, it comes from mom and dad. We're going to flip a few pages further in the book of Genesis to chapter 5. And this is when it's talking about Adam and Eve having some kids, and one in particular. It says in chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. Yep, that's what it says, 1 through 3. I have in my notes 1 through 13, but I see Bob corrected it, who made these slides. So good job there, Bob. It says, when God created mankind, he made them in the likeness of God. He created them male and female and blessed them. Okay, that's kind of reiterating what we saw earlier. And he named them mankind when they were created. Now, here's the key part. When Adam had lived 130 years, whoa, pretty old to have kids. They lived a lot longer back then. When Adam had lived 130 years, help me, he had a son in his own likeness, in his own image, and he named him Seth. Seth. Told Seth he was going to hear his name at the 11 o'clock service today. And so Seth, if you're out there, there he is. There he is. There's that mention. But get this, a son in his own image and likeness. The same words are used of back in chapter 1, where it said, in the image of God, in the likeness of God. Same words used here. This is an astounding statement, folks. It tells us that the image of God is passed down from parents to kids. God doesn't specially create each person in the womb. No, that's not how it works. Your parents procreated you in the image of God. And so from this point on in the Bible, all humans are assumed to be in the image of God. It's spoken of several times. And we get that from dad and mom. God's image is the most precious trait you have as a human. You may have not even heard of it until today, but that's what's most precious. That's what makes a human being most precious. It's what sets you apart from all other created things as supremely valuable. It makes you human rather than canine or feline or reptile or houseplant. It's what makes you unique. Even if you never knew your parents, or let's say they died 1 minute after you were born, this is a real objective reason to honor them. They imparted to you not just your existence, but the highest value in God's creation. I think that's pretty significant. Let's look at the second reason why dad and mom are singled out for special honor. Number two, God placed them in authority over us. They've been telling you that all your life, and now you hear it here, all right? I know a guy who has some major issues with his parents, and he told me once that if he ever visited his dad's grave, which he never does, but if he ever did, he would stand there, he would pull down his pants and defecate. He would poop on his father's grave. And he didn't use the word poop either. That's my cleaned up word, right? Now, if I could change this about my friend, I would. But it reminded me that some people grow up with rotten parents, in case you haven't heard. And it's very sad. What about abusive parents who require their kids to do wrong? To obey them would, of course, be wrong if they're requiring you to, let's say, break the law or to become a prostitute or to sell drugs or something. Some people have had a falling out with their parents. Or some people don't even know who their biological parents are. How can people like this honor their biological parents anyway? Well, we can do it by recognizing a biblical principle that God places us all under authority. It doesn't matter who you are or what position you hold, all of us are under some authority or another. Authority that represents His authority. And so to honor human authority, biblically speaking, to honor human authority that's over us is to honor God. Romans chapter 13, beginning at verse 1, says, those in positions of authority have been placed there by God. Help me. So anyone who rebels against authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and they will be punished. Whoa, this raises a lot of questions, doesn't it? But maybe top on the list is, what about those who abuse authority? Oh, this deserves a whole sermon just in itself. But just briefly, Scripture is clear on this. We must still honor the office of the authority, even if the person of authority is not an honorable person. Notice carefully another verse from the New Testament, 1 Peter, written by the Apostle Peter, Jesus' chief apostle, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17. Just this one sentence. He says, show proper respect to everyone, love the family of believers, fear God, honor the emperor. Look at those last three words, honor the emperor. This is the conduct that God expects from a Christ follower. We respect every human, not because their deeds have necessarily earned it, but because that person is made in the image of God. Notice Peter says, honor the emperor. I wonder if this got stuck in his throat as he spoke these words to the person who was writing it down. That's how they did letters back in those days. They usually dictated them. Because the emperor in power, when Peter wrote these words, was the Hitler of his day, the Emperor Nero. Folks, let me just tell you a little bit about this character, this bad boy. This is the emperor that fed Christians to the wild beasts, that tore them apart in the arena. He's the emperor who impaled Christians on poles and covered them with tar. They're still living, and lit them on fire so they could light up his circus at night. Nice guy, huh? This man was as cruel as they come, as wicked as they come. Peter himself, who wrote these words, was later crucified upside down by Nero, under Nero's order. Not your most honorable guy. Yet Peter says to honor him due to his position of authority. Now, of course, this is not what we are taught on TV. This is not what we see on the bumper stickers, right? This is not what we're taught in the public school or in pop culture. Just look at the way people talk about the president or other leaders. But this is where Christians must be countercultural. We march to a different drum. We don't follow what everybody else does. We don't follow the pack. We follow Jesus. We honor all people, especially those in authority, especially our parents. Yes, yes, yes. We may have to disagree with them or in instances stand against them or vote against them or whatever the case may be. Honor doesn't mean agreement, folks. Doesn't mean that you mindlessly obey. You still have to obey God rather than man if there comes into a conflict there. Okay? That, of course, needs to be said. But it does mean that we show respect, good or bad, like it or not, because they are the ones that God, for whatever his reason may be, in this particular case, has put in authority over us. To show them honor is to show him honor. I realize this is suicidally politically incorrect, all right? But it's scriptural teaching. That's what I'm up here to do, is give you what the scriptures say. This means as Christ followers, we should not refer to our parents, or since we've been talking about it, governmental leaders, or our bosses, with derogatory, insulting, demeaning terms. That is out of bounds. For a Christ follower, we need to be praying for them if they're going astray or even if they're not, for the Lord to work in them and on them and through them. You say, well, what about adoptive parents? If they're not my biological parents, am I off the hook for honoring them? No way. They must be treated with the same honor as biological parents. You say, well, how do you know that? You got a Bible verse for that? Well, yeah, I do. Because this is what Jesus did as a kid. His mother, as you remember, was his biological parent. She was a virgin when she gave birth, when she conceived and gave birth to Jesus. She's his biological mother. But his dad, Joseph, was his adoptive father. Note what it says in Luke chapter 2, verse 51. It says, talking about Jesus, then he returned to Nazareth with them, that is, with Joseph and Mary, and was obedient to them. Doesn't say he's just obedient to his mom. He's obedient to them. Jesus showed the same obedience to his adoptive as his biological parent. And so we follow Jesus' example. Now, most of us don't have bad parents, thank God. Many of us, most of us perhaps have great parents. But even in the worst case scenario, there's still good reason to honor them. That's the point of all this. God placed them in authority. They pass the image of God on to you. Let's look at the third reason why dad and mom are singled out for special honor in the Ten Commandments. And that is number three, Jesus reveals God to us as Father. This is big. This is the supreme reason of all, at least as far as I'm concerned. In God's infinite wisdom, he has chosen to reveal himself to us as Father, and to bring us into a relationship with him as his children. Why did he use those kinds of terms? The Lord Jesus taught us to approach God as Father, our Father. That's how he taught us to pray, to approach the Father, our Abba, our Papa. Jesus' mission to earth was to reveal the Father. He says in John 14, 9, anyone who has seen the Father, or has seen me, has seen the Father. Now think about this for a minute, folks. Of all the human relationships, brother, sister, husband, wife, friend, friend, partner and partner, colleague and colleague, God chose to pattern the parent child relationship most closely after him. That should tell us something. The one true God himself is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Trinity is a family headed up by God the Father. And Jesus becomes our brother. When you trust in Jesus as your Lord and Savior and are born again by the Holy Spirit into a new life, you join the family of God. This topic is, it is so mind-blowingly profound. I can't do justice to it in a minor or a point here in a sermon or even a whole sermon. I found it so amazing, I wrote an entire book on this subject called God the Son. If you want to buy it, it's on Amazon, or you can see me after the service, just another shameless plug. The whole mission of Jesus, God the Son, was to come to earth as one of us so that he, through his life, his death on the cross for our sins, and his resurrection from the dead, make it possible for us as sinful, rebellious creatures that we might be restored to him as children. This is the story. Look what it says here in John chapter 1, beginning at verse 12. It's talking about Jesus. It says, "But to all who believed him," that is God's Son, "and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn," help me, "not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God." The whole aim, the goal, the target, the plan of salvation is to get you into a family relationship where you are the child and God is your father. Parents, this means that God has placed you, he's placed us, I'm a parent too, over our kids to model and represent him to them. Yes, male and female are made in the image of God. There are so many metaphors, word pictures, images of God in Scripture, but this is the highest and the best because it's patterned after the Trinity, after God himself. This gives parenthood a dignity beyond anything else in Scripture, and it's the best reason, as far as I'm concerned, to honor your father and mother. In the fifth commandment, we're told that if you honor your parents, you'll live a long life. Remember that? That's a general principle, sort of like eat healthy and you'll live longer, right? Of course, there are exceptions to the rule. But in Jesus, this promise is fulfilled in a much greater, deeper, and truer and fuller way, with no exceptions. When you truly honor God as Father, you don't just live long, you live forever. Look at what Jesus says in John chapter 5, beginning at verse 22. The Father doesn't judge anyone. He has entrusted judgment entirely to the Son, so that everyone will honor the Father or the Son as they honor the Father. Whoa, that's a heavy-duty claim there. Whoever doesn't honor the Son doesn't honor the Father who sent him. I can guarantee this truth. Help me. Those who listen to what I say and believe in the one who sent me will have eternal life. They won't be judged because they have already passed from death to life. There it is. In the model, in the commandment that points to Jesus, you live a long life. But in the true sense, fulfilled in Jesus, you live forever. Your life never ends. Again, Jesus shows us the true path, the true depth of the commandment. The ultimate parent is God. Honoring our parents is sort of prep, practice for honoring him for all eternity. I love it. I love it. This is good stuff here, folks. It's all boiled down in our main idea. The one thing you should remember, if you forget everything else, goes like this. Honoring your parents is God's pattern for knowing him. His pattern for knowing him. Is honoring your parents part of your lifestyle? You can show them honor and respect even if they've passed, just by the way you remember them, the way you speak of them. If they're still around, when was the last time you told them that you love and respect them? Why not make a point to do that today, if at all possible? Do you need to make something right with your parents? Maybe you had a falling out. Maybe all is not well. Are your parents in need of some help? And you are in the position to provide that help. Give it, even if only because you're a Christ follower. Even if your relationship with them isn't the best. Make a new start today. How about your Heavenly Father? We just sang about that a little while ago. I love that song. Have you come to him through Jesus, his son? He died for your sins. He rose from the dead so that you could be forgiven of all your sins. It doesn't depend on your works. And so that you could become a true child of God. He loves you. If you don't know him yet as Father, come to him today. We're going to close our service. But that doesn't mean that the invitation is closed. You can come up and get some prayer or counsel if you need it. Just come up over here and we have our pastoral prayer team. Do you need to do business with God today? Or maybe you need some prayer for healing or something going on in your life. Come on down and talk with us. Why don't we stand together for prayer? Father in heaven, oh, we're so grateful, Lord. What a privilege it is to be able to come to you as Father, led into your presence through your Son, Jesus. Lord, thank you. We know that that access was bought and paid for at a very high price, the death of your Son, our Lord Jesus. We thank you. We have that access through him. I pray, Father, that we would learn through this message today not only to honor our parents, but to honor you. And the more we honor you, Lord, the more we'll show proper honor and respect to parents and others in authority. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much. God bless you. See you next time.